Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This action concerned an effort in the trial court by a Colorado Metropolitan District.
Pardon me, counsel, if you'd enter your appearance for the record,
thank
please.
Thank you, Your Honor. I apologize.
That's all right.
Charles Norton, registration number 10633, on behalf of the Todd Creek Village Metropolitan District Appellate.
Thank you, Mr. Norton.
Thank you, Your Honor. This action in the trial court concerned an effort by a metropolitan district organized pursuant to Title 32 of the Colorado Revised Statutes to foreclose on a lien, perpetual lien, for the payment of tap fees, which the district contended were due and owing on the part of the Appalachian Citywide Bank. Citywide had obtained title to its property pursuant to a public trustee foreclosure process. And the district contended then, as it had contended in prior occasions, that its rules and regulations covered such an incident, and that when title was transferred pursuant to public trustee foreclosure, a tap fee became due and payable. We will contend this afternoon that there were three particular paragraphs in the complaint as submitted, which stated a claim for relief which should have withstood a motion to dismiss. In paragraph 17 of the complaint, it was alleged that the subject property is governed by the district's rules and regulations and design standards. In paragraph 18 of the complaint, there is a citation, specific citation to section 6.5.1 of the rules and regulations, which indicates that a tap fee is due 15 days after the sale of the property. The precise wording that is used is by a builder or developer. The complete rules and regulations, as they were eventually tendered to the district court here, indicate that the definition of a developer includes an owner of the property, which I'll discuss in a few minutes. The third paragraph, which we believe stated a claim for relief, is paragraph 19, in which it was alleged that pursuant to the rules and regulations, generally speaking, the fees were due to the district on the date the public trustee deed issued to Citywide, which occurred on January 28th of 2009. That's the entire allegation of paragraph 19. The inquiry for the court in this case, we believe, is whether that complaint, as filed in November of 2009, stated a claim for relief, or if Citywide successfully demonstrated that the district could prove no set of facts that would entitle it to relief under this set of circumstances.
Mr. Gordon, the first basic question, as I read the briefs, is your definition of customer under 1.7. Customer shall mean any company under a permit issued or otherwise authorized by the board. Was a permit ever issued?
Your Honor, there was not a building permit or a tap connection permit.
But it doesn't say building permit or tap connection. It says under a permit issued or otherwise authorized by the board.
Correct, Your Honor.
Is Citywide a company who had a permit issued or otherwise authorized by the board?
We believe that actually they do meet the definition of permit as it was.
What about definition of customer?
Definition of customer. The definition of customer, Your Honor, is tied to the definition of permit. You'll notice that customer is defined in section 1.7 as any person, company, corporation, or governmental authority or agency authorized by the district to use the public water, irrigation, sewer, or drainage systems under a permit issued or otherwise authorized by the board of directors or the manager pursuant to these rules and regulations and the policy and procedure of the district. So there's actually a definition of permit, which we believe includes both.
What about the definition under customer?
Yes.
Your own rules.
That is the definition of customer, Your Honor.
I'm reading, customer shall mean any company authorized by the district to use the water.
Correct, Your Honor. Under a permit.
Under a permit issued or otherwise authorized by the board.
And then you'll note that later there's a definition of permit. So we have this definition of customer which says person, company, corporation, so forth, authorized under a permit. The definition of permit then indicates shall mean written permission of the board of directors authorizing
connection. What section is that?
That is in section 1.7 as well, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
So we've actually got, and part, of course, of what the court is pointing out here is that when the motion to dismiss was initially considered and granted, this definitional section was not actually in front of the district court, as it was initially tendered to them. So you had a procedural posture where the district responded to a specific motion to dismiss that talked about section 6.5.1. The court then asked Citywide to present it with a complete set of the rules and regulations as applicable to this case. The court then wrote the opinion granting the motion to dismiss, and those rules and regulations were not tendered until after the motion had been completely briefed. So we have a complete briefing of the motion to dismiss, motion, reply brief, and that response brief, and then a reply brief. Then we have the rules and regulations being tendered in their entirety to the court, and the court then grants a motion to dismiss based in part on its reading of the definitional section, Your Honor, which had never been argued by either party on the initial motion to dismiss.
May I interrupt you for a question, please, Mr. Norton?
Clearly, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. I want to go back to 6.5.1.
Yes.
I have two questions. The first is, you say that it is your position that this property was sold and that triggered the obligation to pay the tab fee.
That's correct.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. First of all, do I understand correctly that all of the property in question that Citywide is involved in is undeveloped? Is that correct?
That is not correct.
All right. Let us assume for the purposes of my hypothetical that we have an undeveloped piece of land. Mm-hmm. I am the original owner. Let's say I'm the very first owner, and I decide that I'm going to sell it to you. You buy it from me. It is your desire to never improve this land, or at least to let it sit for a while as an investment, because you figure that it will be a good investment. Thus, you have no need for water because you're going to sit on it for a while. Now, does that mean that when I sell the land to you, even though you are not going to do anything that requires a single drop of water, that you or I are obligated for a tap fee?
I want to answer the question directly first, John, and
sure.
Go back to a couple of premises.
Certainly.
Hypothetical don't apply to this particular
okay.
situation. First of all, yes, I would contend that a tap fee could be assessed and properly collected at that point, because historically the entitlement to these tap fees, ultimately it's the due process reason why they can be collected, is based on a theory that they enhance the value of the property that is in proximity to the facility. So even if, let's assume an agricultural use in which a person wants to farm that land. And actually, in this district's case, there are certain kinds of agricultural, or at least quasi-agricultural uses that could be served by this district because it has both a non-potable water supply for irrigation purposes and it has a potable water supply. But let's assume a pure agricultural use. Especially in the context of our economy, if individual elected to keep those agricultural uses in place but sell the property at some later point in time, the value of that property, the market value of that property, would be enhanced by the fact that there is water service in proximity to it, and that a developer, for example, could proceed to plat and subdivide those lots and then serve them through this facility. So we think that certainly, compatibly with a case like Wasson versus Hoganson, for example, which talks about this theory of the enhancement in value of property, it is perfectly appropriate to assess and collect a tap fee under the set of circumstances that you've outlined.
Okay.
The only brief sort of addendum I would make is that the court's hypothetical is not what we're facing in this situation.
I understand.
In this situation, we have platted lots. subdivided and plotted lots, which are directly available for connection to the district's water.
They are not connected, but they haven't been connected yet.
Correct, John. They're not, they don't have buildings on them yet, but they have everything short. They have water mains in the street. They have the connecting lines that go up to the lot line. And so really at this point, all a developer builder has to do is construct the structures, and then they're in a position to hook up to the system and be connected to it. Again, the court's question illustrates the fact that, I suppose in one sense, one could argue that the cart kind of came before the horse here, in the sense that this water system was completely built out in terms of the treatment capacity, the delivery capacity, the water mains, and so forth. It was entirely constructed and built out in anticipation of advanced kinds of funding, like tap purchase agreements and so forth, so that as development took place, then the system could be paid for. We, of course, believe that this is just sound utilities planning. If you're going, as the county commissioners in Adams County did when they approved this service plan, this is just sound utilities planning. You plan for the future, you anticipate a certain level of growth, you anticipate a certain level of subdivision activity, and then you put in the infrastructure in place to serve it. So in this instance, to have a strict construction of the district's rules and regulations, let's say that in the eventuality that the economy does not play out as is anticipated, and development does not take place as is anticipated, that the district is absolutely handcuffed and cannot collect a tap fee in advance of actual physical connection to the system, we believe would violate both the scope of the district's statutory authority and principles of sound utilities planning.
Don't such powers, though, have to be provided for in the rules and regulations? And isn't that a problem, that they're not specifically provided for, whether or not it's appropriate?
Your Honor, we think that they are provided for in this particular instance by the phrase that Judge Bernard called to my attention that indicates that a tap fee is due within 15 days after a builder or developer sells property that is located within the district service area. Two issues that are implicated by your question. One is the definition of developer, in a very unsatisfying way, in Section 1.7 defines a developer as an owner or developer of property. So it's one of those definitions which is tautological in part. It relies on its own term to define itself, but then also there is this use of the term owner. We believe that it is a perfectly plausible construction to say that in this context, in this particular context, either the public trustee or the developer who owned these lots originally sold this property as a result of the foreclosure sale. The foreclosure sale, despite the fact that many of my clients would disagree with this notion, the foreclosure sale in some sense benefits the debtor because it discharges all or portion of their obligation. So a construction that says that this sale, this public trustee sale, was on behalf of the owner or developer, or it was simply a sale by an owner, if one wishes to look at it formalistically, through the public trustee, that it fit within this definition, we believe is a perfectly plausible construction under these circumstances. Unless there are further questions of the court, I say I'm now down to approximately a minute. I would like to retain that for rebuttal purposes, if I could.
Certainly.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. You got a minute four.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Kitzmiller. I'm appearing on behalf of Citywide Bank. My registration number is 16927. Your Honors, we're here today because the district court dismissed a complaint filed by the Todd Creek Metropolitan District. The basis of the complaint, as counsel indicated, was Section 6.5.1 of the Todd Creek Rules and Regulations. The motion to dismiss filed by Citywide indicated that there was no allegation that Citywide was a developer or builder, therefore there was no basis to state a claim for foreclosure of a lien in approximately in the amount of approximately $200,000 against Citywide. There was some briefing regarding whether or not this was actually even a sale. The district court, before it rendered its opinion, asked for a complete set of the rulings, or a complete set of the district's rules, and determined that, in fact, 6.5.1 was not a sufficient basis to state a claim against Citywide, and it dismissed the complaint. District is right to look at the definitions under their rules, but the aids of construction that have been briefed by the parties all begin with the idea that first you need to give it a plain reading to see what the rules really say. And here, a plain reading of the rules doesn't require that Citywide pay tap fees or that they're delinquent. The rule indicates that the tap fees are delinquent. That's the rule that they are moving under, that they're delinquent when a builder or developer sells the property. That didn't happen in this case. The one, a couple of things left out of the definitions by counsel was that a developer is an owner who seeks to have the property served. That didn't happen in this case. Citywide never requested service to the property. And while the term customer indicates that you're authorized by permit or otherwise authorized by the board to have service, the rules, section 5.4, say that you're only authorized to have it by permit. And there's some exceptions.
What do you believe is the proper standard for this question? Use the discretion?
Well, I think, Your Honor, the court has to review it de novo. The allegations of the complaint were taken as true, so I think that's the standard on appeal. And I don't know why it would be different than the district courts in this particular circumstance. The district had asked for leave to amend their complaint, but they never indicated what additional facts they would allege that would make their allegations survive a motion to dismiss.
Well, my question to the other counsel was, is Citywide a customer? Is Citywide a customer?
No, sir, Your Honor.
Why is that so?
They have never been authorized by permit or otherwise by the board of directors to have service. The rules are designed so that the payment period comes either when there's a commitment before their service to pay tap fees. That wasn't done in this case. And there's a particular rule that says you can get a commitment for tap fees to help with financing. That wasn't done in this case. Citywide has never requested a permit. They've never sought to have service to the property.
Basically, they're not a customer.
They're not a customer, and they're not a
builder. That's your argument.
No, well, that's one of the arguments. The district court actually determined that Citywide wasn't a customer. Our argument was that there wasn't a sale by a builder or developer, and that the sale by the public trustee did not meet the rules and regulations imposed by the district. Developer means an owner who seeks to have the property served, and Citywide has never sought to have the property served.
So, if I may interrupt, yes, Mr. Kitzmiller, please. Are you saying that if you did seek to have the property served, i.e. Citywide decides that it's going to keep the property and for its own purposes develop the property, and you want water hooked up, you'd have to pay the tap fee, right?
Well, there's no question, Your Honor. Whoever's going to develop this property is going to have to pay a tap fee. It's not like the district is not going to get paid. The problem is they haven't captured the circumstance in their rules. Now, they have after this because they amended their rules, and their amended rules specifically capture the circumstance we have here, which says if there's a public trustee sale and there's a conveyance, then you have to pay tap fees. That rule was after Citywide acquired the property and doesn't apply. So the Citywide's position is that really what the district is asking for is not a plain reading, but a strained reading of its own rules, and that to really get where the district wants to go, you have to do a lot of kind of gymnastics through their rules to try to get there. And as we pointed out in our briefing, the Skyland case says you can't take what's basically a tax a rule imposing a tax and use it expansively or interpret it expansively to impose it in a situation where it just doesn't exist.
And just to make clear, the first person who had the property who lost it through the foreclosure process, that person had also not applied for a permit or tried to have a water connection.
Your Honor, I'm going to have to plead ignorance. I don't know the answer to that question. It certainly wasn't alleged that that was the case. But, you know, the other argument that counsel has made is this public policy argument that they have to do this in order to finance the infrastructure of this development. But the rules and regulations have provisions for that financing. Among those are the pre-tap fee commitment. There's a rule that provides for guarantees of payment before a tap fee is issued. None of those things were done in this case. The other issue is that this infrastructure is kind of divided between the district and the developer itself. The district pays for the regional facilities, and the rules provide that it won't even build them unless that they determine that they're economically feasible. The local facilities, those within the development, are paid for actually by the developer itself under their rules and regulations. So the position of Citywide is that there is no basis for the imposition of a tap fee against Citywide merely being the successful bidder at a public trustee sale, and that other circumstances have to arise under their own rules and regulations, such as the application for a tap fee. I'm sorry, which one?
And Judge Bernard gave the other counsel the hypothetical.
I'm sorry, can you just repeat the hypothetical again, Your Honor?
Yes, I own an unimproved piece of land that takes no water from the district. It's in the district, but takes no water from it. I sell to you, and your desire is to just hold on to it as an investment, and you will hold on to it and sell it, and you will never make a demand on the district's water. My question for Mr. Burton was whether, under that circumstance, you or I or somebody would have to pay a tap fee just based upon the sale.
My answer is no, Your Honor.
And why not?
Well, the rules don't provide for it. They need to have a provision that allows them to do that. Title 32 gives them broad authority to impose specific rules and regulations to collect tap fees and other privilege of service fees and fees to pay for infrastructure. And they may have captured that situation in their amended rules of your hypothetical, but they didn't in the rules upon which they based their complaint in this case. So, if there's nothing further, thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think part of the exchange between counsel and the court illustrated why this case was improvidently disposed of on a motion to dismiss. There's a question from the bench as to whether or not the bank's predecessor in title, their debtor, had in fact sought permission to connect to the water system. And the reason that you have the infrastructure that you have in place there today, Your Honor, is partially because there was in fact a tap purchase agreement entered into with the predecessor in interest, predecessor in title, and based on reliance on that, in part the district installed the infrastructure that I described for you earlier. That's the kind of fact that would shed light on how this should be interpreted. That is,
why? Let's see if I can focus. You argue that in this case, Citywide, a customer, fits under your definition. Why did the commission or the county commissioners change the rule to specifically address the matters here which reflect? The acquisition of this property through foreclosure. Why did the commission do that?
Well, first, Your Honor, it's important to note we're not depending on the notion that Citywide is a customer entirely for our argument that this tap fee was collectible, because 6.5.1 is in the disjunctive. It says customer has not paid or a builder developer has sold the property. Developer including owner as part of the definition. So we're not dependent. We think the district court was mistaken in accruing that much interest in the term customer.
But I understand that you think that the district court was wrong, but why did your commission change the rules relative?
Your Honor, it was to the board of directors of the district changed the rule in order to clarify their prior intent. I can say to this court with absolute seriousness that the current board and those who continue from prior service believe that the original form of the rules and regulations at issue in this case applied to trigger a tap fee at the time of a foreclosure sale. They believe that and would testify to that effect.
Yeah.
So the purpose of altering the rule and regulation, which happened in the context of this whole controversy, was to make it absolutely clear that that was in fact the case.
Also, your time is up. Thank you very much for your arguments.